Alrighty, if you haven't figured out by now, turn your Bibles open to Revelation 6. I want to thank Jerry for filling in last week. Awesome job. Over the last month or so, I've been picking certain sections out of Revelation for us to look at, trying to understand Revelation from like day one to the end is very complicated, but I think it helps if we can pick certain events out of it and see what's going to happen and then ask ourselves, well, what can I get out of that today? What can I know about God today? What can I know more about our enemy today because of what I'm reading in Revelation? It's very helpful for us to understand the future. It's helpful to understand what the Bible says is the future. There's this period of time. It's a 7-year period of time that is going to come. It's called the tribulation in general. And it kicks off with an event that starts in heaven, and there's this scroll. And this scroll is written on both sides, which is unusual. In the Jewish vernacular, a deed is only written on both sides when it's going through foreclosure. So you can kind of envision that this scroll that's written on both sides is the title deed to the earth going through foreclosure. We read a few weeks ago how the kingdom gets of the earth gets handed back to God, becomes the kingdom of God. That's where we're headed. That this kingdom that Satan is the prince of the air has a certain limited amount of rule and authority over us. Will change. We'll be handed back to God. So this scroll appears. And there's 7 seals on it that seal it closed. And John tells about how everyone was looking around to find someone to open it. Who could open this scroll? Because it takes somebody special, somebody with the right power and authority to do it. And he was crying, and everybody's crying, because who's going to open this scroll? And then the Lamb of God, Jesus, steps in. And he is the one who has the authority and the power to open the scroll and to peel these seals off. This scroll has 7 seals on it, and each seal he peels off will release another judgment on the earth. This is going to be a time period when the church age has ended. We're at the end of the church age presently. So think for a moment as we read through Revelation 6 and we kind of think on this a little bit. This stuff that we're reading sounds surreal. It sounds like special effects in a movie. But this is real stuff. This is real stuff. It's going to be so mind-blowing that we'll see how Scripture says people respond to it. And who has the power to do all of this? It's being done and commanded by someone. They're just not random natural events like that we might ascribe to a tornado or hurricane, earthquake. This is a methodical, planned out series of judgments, and it's God that's doing it. Jesus is opening the seals.
So can I sidetrack you at the very start?
Oh, no.
Oh, yeah. So why do the seals have to be opened in the first place?
Well, this is the deed to the earth, and it's being foreclosed upon. The earth is being judged, and it's being given back to God. So when you foreclose on something, you have the deed, it's open, it's read, and you foreclose on that. So it's a kind of a symbolic foreclosure, and these seals are holding that scroll shut, which dictates all of the stuff that's going to happen.
Okay, so the ownership is transferring from, say, Satan to
yes.
God.
Yes.
Okay. I guess the lessee isn't holding up their end of the bargain.
Yeah.
That's why it needs to be opened.
Yeah. Yeah. So why should we read and study and know this stuff in Revelation? Especially if we, the church, are not going to be here. It almost seems like, well, maybe it's not all that important. Well, it's truth. It's the cause of truth. Man is always looking to know what the future is. You know, the unregenerate man goes out and they pay people to tell them the future. They pay, you know, fortune tellers, tarot cards, palm readings. It's astounding how many people pay for things to know the future, to learn the future. It's been put in our heart by God to want to know what the future is. But we need to seek it out from the right place and the right person. And this is what Scripture tells us here. Sadly, while people will go out and pay for these things and read their astrology forecast every day, they won't read Revelation. Some men are such megalomaniacs in the world that they are creating the future for the whole world in their image, in their idea. We're living in a time where that's never before been possible, but is now and is happening. And they have a plan. And everyone has an answer how the end will come about. In fact, it's the purpose of religion to let us know what is going to happen when we die. Where do we go when we die? Why are we here? It's the purpose of religion. So if you want to talk to anybody about whatever religion they're following, those are the questions you want to ask them. What's going to happen when you die? According to your religion, what's going to happen when you die? How's this earth going to end? Where is humanity going towards? So this series of judgments, this tribulation, the bowls of wrath, we ask, well, why is God going to do this? Why would he do this? And the answer is that these are judgments and wrath poured out against the proud of the earth, the sons of disobedience. It's not being poured out on the church. It's not being poured out on his children. What if God were to just let things go on indefinitely? I mean, why not? Why not just see what happens? Just let it continue on. Well, this is where reading Scripture and using it as a filter to see what we see in our world today helps us. What do we see happening? Lawlessness is increasing. Amen? The older you are, the more you can appreciate how that's happening, the more you can see it, because you have a longer framework to look at it. Young people, their time frame to look at is small, so it's maybe a little bit harder for you to understand. But lawlessness is increasing, and it will increase, and if God didn't stop it somewhere, it would keep increasing. It would not become, you know, the kumbaya nirvana moment. Now, I want to remind you that Jesus is the one opening these seals. It's not Satan causing trouble for everybody. It's Jesus opening the seals, and it's with a purpose, moving towards an end point. So if you're already there in Revelation 6, I gave you plenty of time to get there by now. And as we read how each one of these seals are opened, I'm not going to go into a whole lot of detail about the impact of each one, but just think about it. When we read the seal, think about, well, what would it be like on earth when that happens? Then I saw when the Lamb broke one of the seven seals, and I heard one of the four living creatures saying, as with a voice of thunder, "Come." I looked, and behold, a white horse, and he who sat on it had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went out conquering and to conquer. This is the Antichrist appearing on the world stage, the man of lawlessness. He's a fake Christ, the Antichrist. This is not Jesus returning. We read that later on. And when the scripture talks about Jesus returning on the white horse, they describe him who's riding in the horse and what it looks like, and his name is on it, and his robe dipped in blood. Verse 3, when he broke the second seal, I heard the second living creature saying, "Come." And another, a red horse, went out, and to him who sat on it was granted to take peace from the earth, and that men would slay one another, and a great sword was given to him. Peace taken from the earth. You know, right now, as we look around the world, we think, wow, there is just not a whole lot of peace. But consider if peace entirely was taken away. I mean, this morning, we're in a place and time where there's peace. We're here in God's house. We're in Pagosa Springs. There's a relative amount of peace. But imagine if that is all taken away.
Like if you can't turn off your phone.
Amen. 5. When he broke the third seal, I heard the third living creature saying, "Come." I looked, and behold, a black horse, and he who sat on it had a pair of scales in his hand. And I heard something like a voice in the center of the four living creatures saying, "A quart of wheat for a denarius, and 3 quarts of barley for a denarius, and do not damage the oil and the wine." So this speaks of great famine. Food will cost like a day's wages. So the cost of it is going to be so expensive because of the famine. And the oil and the wine that he's talking about, God is saving them for a little bit later on, because when they open up the seventh seal, that's when he seals the 144,000 Jews. 7. When the Lamb broke the fourth seal, I heard the voice of the fourth living creature saying, "Come." I looked, and behold, an ashen horse, and he who sat on it had the name Death. And Hades was following with him. Authority was given to them over a fourth of the earth to kill with sword and with famine and with pestilence by the wild beasts of the earth. Now, if you just read that through, thinking you're reading a science fiction book, a fourth of the earth will just pass you by. But do you realize that's like a billion people? A billion people. That's like the whole continent of India. Wiped out momentarily. Just think of how that will impact the rest of the world. You know, it's not going to be all one location either. It will be around the world. So it's dramatic. When that happens, I mean, peace has already been taken, right? So you can just imagine all the angst and the fighting and the desperation and the looting, the cheating. Verse 9, when the Lamb broke the fifth seal, I saw underneath the altar of the souls of those who had been slain because of the word of God and because of the testimony which they had maintained. Christians will be target number one during this period of time, because who are they going to be blaming for all of this trouble going? Who are they going to be blaming because their family died in God's judgment? They're going to be blaming anybody that claims to be Christian. And they're going to be martyred. So if you think, I got some time to accept Jesus as my Savior, I'll wait until the tribulation starts, and when things get serious, then I'll receive Jesus. But you may not make it that far, and you're going to be enemy number one. And you're going to be martyred. There's so many people that are going to come to Christ during the tribulation when they see what the Bible has said really was true. It wasn't just a story. And they're going to be martyred. left off at verse 10. And they cried out with a loud voice, saying, "How long, O Lord, holy and true, will you refrain from judging and avenging our blood on those who dwell on the earth?" And there was given to each of them a white robe, and they were told that they should rest for a little while longer, until the number of their fellow servants and their brethren who were to be killed, even as they had been, would be completed also. Wait, there's still some more brethren that have to be martyred before I can finish my work. Wow.
So, going back to what you just said, what's going to cause the shift in people's thinking that makes them blame Christianity for everything? Because it seems like right now is the ones avoiding Christianity at all costs.
Well, as people, we always need somebody to blame. Somebody has to be the bad guy. Somebody has to be the enemy. So when we're uncomfortable, when we suffer, we want to find somebody, something to blame. So when people see that God is putting out these judgments, and they know that it's God doing it, it's not a secret. They're not wondering, how come all of this is happening? They're going to blame the Christians, those who follow that God. They're going to assign the fault to them and want to kill them. Nobody will like them. And I appreciate that question, because I was going to get into it a little bit later on, but are Christians the most popular people in the world right now? Are they the group of people that everybody says, "Oh, I want to be one of those"? No. Christians today are getting blamed for all kinds of stuff because people need somebody to blame. They need an enemy.
Well, and I think, too, there's that element of they recognize the truth. I mean, somewhere in there, they because God tells us the heavens declare his glory day after day after day after day. And you can't deny it at some level. And so I think there's a recognition in the truth. And they see that in Christians. They see that, but they're still fighting against it. So a way to fight against them is to, if I just get rid of that truth, then I don't have to see it anymore, and then I don't have to follow it. I mean, it's the same reason that we push God out of our government and all that, those rules, because if I acknowledge that there is a God, then I might actually have to change my behavior and do something different. And so it's that rebellion in their mind that they're fighting the truth that they know is the truth. And one way to fight it is to try to destroy it. If I can destroy the truth, then I don't have to acknowledge it.
Mm-hmm. Well,
just look what happened in Germany. I mean, it's not very far-fetched to think, Hitler blamed the Jews for everything. And people bought into it, and all of a sudden they were taken to death camps and on and on. So, that's within many people's lifetimes, right here, right now.
And to this day, people are still anti-Jew.
Yeah, and they even deny, the Muslims deny that it even happened.
Yeah. So it's not a rational way of thinking, but it is the way people do resolve it.
Well, kids younger than me do a lot of things that I think aren't correct. So I can commiserate with that one.
Yeah. As the scripture continues on here, verse 12, I looked when he broke the sixth seal, and there was a great earthquake, and the sun became black as sackcloth made of hair, and the whole moon became like blood, and the stars of the sky fell to the earth. So these are, spectacular things happening that no one would believe until it does happen. Jesus spoke about this time when he, in Matthew 24, when he was walking in the square with the apostles, and they were asking, when will this thing happen? And And he was saying that there will come a day when the sun will be as black as sackcloth and the moon blood red. And these are not signs of the coming rapture, coming time. This is the sixth seal that is being rolled out that he's speaking about that will happen. It's not going to be a 20-minute eclipse where everybody's getting out and checking it out and trying to get their pictures. So the stars are falling to the earth. And as a fig tree casts its unripe figs when shaken by a great wind, and the sky was split apart like a scroll when it's rolled up, and every mountain and island were moved out of their places. Then the kings of the earth and the great men and the commanders and the rich and the strong and every slave and free man hid themselves in the caves and among the rocks of the mountains. And they said to the mountains and to the rocks, fall on us, hide us from the presence of him who sits on the throne. They know this is God doing this. And they still want to hide from him instead of repent and say, save me. And from the wrath of the Lamb. We, when we receive Christ, have been saved from the wrath of God. For the great day of their wrath has come, and who is able to stand? They will be so fearful from these things happening, they'll just be asking to die. They would be so scared, they just want to be out of their misery. They can't deal with it. Last slide. So, the question is, how do we live in this day and age? Next slide. That we're living in. We've said that we're closing in on the end times. We're finishing up the last days. How should we be living? Turn with me to 1 Thessalonians. To go back just a couple books. 1 Thessalonians 5. And Paul gives us a great answer to the question is, with all of this going on, how should we be living? With all of this that's going to happen, we know that it's going to happen. How should we be living? Are you there? 1 Thessalonians 5.
Amen.
Begin with verse 1. Now, as to the times and the epochs, brethren, you have no need of anything to be written to you. So, in other words, when is this going to happen? He's saying you don't need to know exactly when it's going to happen. And he continues, he says, for you yourselves know full well that the day of the Lord will come just like a thief in the night. Suddenly, while they are saying peace and safety, then destruction will come upon them suddenly like labor pains upon a woman with child, and they will not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, that the day would overtake you like a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of day. We are not of the darkness or the night, so then let us not sleep as others do. In other words, we can't just continue on day after day like nothing's going to happen. Things are happening. It is not your imagination. So then let us not sleep as others do, but let us be alert and sober. For those who sleep do their sleeping at night, and those who get drunk at night. But since we are of the day, let us be sober, having put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. For God has not destined us for wrath, but for obtaining salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, so that whether we are awake or asleep, we will be together with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build up one another just as you are also doing.
I was thinking when it said, how are we going to be during those times? I think we should be the same now as we will be then and always. You know, we should be ready. We should be sober and alert now as to what's going to happen, and so live our lives according to that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And that's how we should always be.
Amen.
No matter how bad things are.
Part of that has to do with not having fear.
Yeah, no.
Right now, in our society, fear is like the number one thing that's being preached. And it's impacting adults and children. And it can sneak up on you. And if you don't have Jesus as your rock, that fear will control you. It can even kill you. There's so much damage going on. So he's saying, you know, we're of the day. We know what's going to happen. And we know who's in control. We do not need to fear. We do not need to fear. You know, he's saying it will come at a time when people are saying peace and safety. Peace and safety. And that is happening in our day and age right now. You have all of this chaos going on, but then you have people on TV or government leaders and media saying, oh, it's no problem. It's peaceful. It's safe. You have nothing to worry about. We're going to take care of it. We have these plans. We're going to send you a check. Peace and safety. Make it bigger, please. So you have these two sides that are speaking, and you know neither one is true. That we need to be on the rock of Jesus. You know, if you don't have him dwelling within you, you're gonna suffer fear, because the things that are being done and things that are happening are fearful. They are fearful. So we need to be about the kingdom business. We need to be standing firm, standing in a position to overcome, and rescuing people when we can. Here we are in the midst of all of that's been happening. We held vacation Bible school all summer. We are doing baptisms today. You know, we're going to continue to be the church until the church is pulled out. So just have that resilience. You realize there's many Christians in Afghanistan right now that will not live through this withdrawal. They will not. They will be killed. People are going door to door killing Christians. They're not going door to door and killing, you know, the Hindus or the New Agers. They're going and killing Christians. Haiti. Look at how many people died in that earthquake. But do you realize that back in 2010, 316,000 people died in that one earthquake? We forget. It was only 10 years ago. I forgot. Haiti is an island full of voodoo and Satanism. And yet, when that earthquake happened back in 2010, there were some Christian missionaries that felt called into that island. They went in and they set up these ministries, and they've struggled trying to help the people rebuild. And now they are getting kidnapped and held for ransom, blaming the Christians. Consider China. Do you ever read the news there? China is going around systematically rooting out the churches and killing the Christians. Nigeria. The Muslim groups are going around and just raiding and killing churches and school children, Christians. I'm telling you, in the world, it is not a popular time to be a Christian. And all of this has to happen in order to set the world stage against Israel. America has to fail in order for the Antichrist to succeed at his mission.
I was thinking we should not be surprised, because, I mean, the leader, the one who started it all, he was taken out and strung up and crucified. So that's our religion. It's going to be like that.
Yeah. Yeah. So we need the spiritual stability of Jesus to navigate through this time. And I hope you have it. I hope you have his peace. That you understand his power and ability. So he closes up in 1 Thessalonians here in our passage what we should be doing, and that is we need to put on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet, the hope of salvation. We have a living hope. We are not destined for wrath. We're not destined for wrath. And I just want to say to you, do not value your life more than Jesus. Do not value your life so much that you will compromise and walk away from Jesus. Do not value your life so much that you are going to hide out and not come to church because it's safer. Do not value your life so much that when you go to work, that you're afraid to mention the name of Jesus because immediately you'll get jumped on by everybody at work. Stand up for Jesus because he is standing for us. And we are to encourage one another with these words. And this is why church is so critical and getting ever more critical as the things around the world are happening and the fear that's coming in into your head, you have some way to stop it. It's through Jesus, it's through getting together. Amen.
Amen.
Well, let's all gather up in a circle and we're going to pray for one another.
Yeah.